Today, I'd like to discuss the road to naturalization. In particular, I want to discuss one of the most stringent requirements in successfully completing the transition from permanent residency to citizenship during the naturalization process, and that's the good moral character requirement. So a lot of individuals come to my office and they want to talk about naturalizing. And to them, they've been told the process is relatively simple. They know that the biggest two requirements are that they have to have been at least 18 years old and they should be a permanent resident. And some of them knows they should be a permanent resident for a statutory period, which I'll explain in a moment. And they feel that that's it. Well, no. Those are the general rules, and generally speaking, they are correct, but there's more to it. What has to happen is that the individual who has been a permanent resident has to meet the good moral character requirement for not just the statutory period, but also beyond that in many cases. So let's begin there. Let's begin with the statutory period. What is it? Well, essentially, when you apply for citizenship, the day that application is submitted, count back, generally speaking, 5 years. That's the general rule, 5 years. And during that period, certain acts will disqualify you from becoming a citizen. Some of those disqualifications are permanent. Some of them are conditional and temporary. Now, the statutory period differs. If you became a permanent resident through marriage to a United States citizen, then the requirement is 3 years permanent residency. So your statutory period is 3 years, which means from the day you apply, look back 3 years, and that's going to be the heavy duty period that immigration officers are going to look at. But it's not the only period they'll look at. And for some individuals, it's even less. It's a one-year statutory period. These would be certain individuals who can qualify through some of the military provisions and a few other programs. But the bulk of individuals who apply for citizenship are going to be in the five-year statutory period. And the second largest component will be those who are married to United States spouses and live with a United States citizen spouse within the three-year period. So think about it, 1, 3, 5, that's your statutory period. For most individuals, it's 5 years. So you have to have met the good moral character requirements during that time frame. So what is good moral character? Well, the definition's a little fuzzy. It's a little hazy. It's not defined within the statutes, but courts have defined it as the standards of the average citizens of the community in which the applicant resides. Well, just think about that for a moment. The standards of the average citizens. Well, that alone tells you that it's somewhat of a speculative requirement. It's a subjective requirement. And that's not uncommon. In law, that's often the way terms are defined. We sort of put common sense behind the definition because you can't define it precisely. So what are the standards of the average citizen? Does it matter whether we're looking at the average citizen of a community like New York versus a community like Los Angeles? How about Riverside, California versus San Bernardino, California? How about El Paso, Texas versus Seattle, Washington? Would that matter? Does that change the definition? No. Not really. The definition is pretty much the same. So when we say the average citizen of the community, well, essentially the community is going to be the entire United States. And yet the definition probably changes at times, and sometimes it changes by lawyers challenging it. For instance, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, an officer would have frowned on someone who became a permanent resident through a same-sex marriage. I mean, they weren't even allowed until certain legislation was passed. Or even beyond that, how about interracial marriages? Now, would that have been frowned on? Well, because it didn't meet the standards of the community at the time, the average citizens. Maybe it did, but it wasn't the law. Anyway, now certain things say, like marriages through same-sex relationships are legal. And so when someone applies for a citizen years later, that can't be used as having been a violation of good moral character. So that's good moral character. But the definitions aside, let's get down to some practical aspects of what is good moral character. As I noted, there's two types of bars. There's permanent bars and there's temporary conditional bars. The permanent bars are such that no matter when you committed certain acts, you have violated the law in such a way that you will never, ever be a citizen. And those really are what we call an immigration law. We often look at that as being the aggravated felonies. Crimes like murder, rape, sexual abuse of minors, drug trafficking, smuggling, crimes of violence. Now, think about smuggling for a second. And the reason I want to point out that issue is because of some cases that I've heard about in the news and other places that that people have to think real carefully about citizenship. So that someone goes to an interview and the officer says, well, we're going to deny your citizenship. Why? Well, you've smuggled individuals. What do you mean I've smuggled individuals? Well, we know from certain other applications that we have matched up that you brought your nephew or niece into the country. Perhaps they obtained that through a DACA application and they matched up the names and the permanent residence. So this person now applies for citizenship through naturalization. And they'll say, wait a minute, you smuggled someone. That's a permanent bar. You can never become a citizen. I don't care if you brought that person in 15 years ago when they were a minor. You committed smuggling. Yes, those cases have been reported, and those are real cases. I had an individual that came to my office that was denied citizenship because of an alleged smuggling incident way before DACA, many years ago, 1972. He went to the interview and they said that they were denying it based on smuggling. What smuggling? The only thing he could recall, he told me, was he only entered the United States once in 1972. He was a permanent resident. And the only individuals in the car with him, and he was a driver, was his wife, also a permanent resident, and his father-in-law, a United States citizen. So how is that smuggling? Well, essentially, what he recalled was that his wife had said at first blush that she was a citizen, and she wasn't. She was a permanent resident. So they got pulled aside. They rectified that issue, but it was still recorded in the computers as being an incident of smuggling. And so they denied it. And that was way back in 1972. And this is a conversation I had in 2017 with an individual. So think about that. That's many, many years ago. But that's what I mean. It's a permanent bar. Smuggling is a permanent bar. It's the same thing as many individuals are permanent residents, but they slip through the cracks. And now they go through and apply for citizenship through naturalization. Well, they could very well run into serious problems. I had an individual shortly after Donald Trump became president, fearing Donald Trump, applied for citizen. He went through some paralegal services, and he didn't tell him the full story, most likely, because when he went to the interview, they asked him, have you ever smuggled anyone? And I mean, have you ever been deported? And he said, no. And they said, are you sure about that? He goes, I've never been deported. And as the conversation went on, they asked him two or three times, and he kept saying no. And they said, well, how did you become a permanent resident? And he said, through my wife, she was a citizen. When did you become a permanent resident? 1976. And when did you first apply? Well, I think it was about 1973 or 1974. And they said, so weren't you deported in 1970? And the individual froze. And they said, so you became a permanent resident in 76? Yes. And you renewed your green card? Yes, I renewed it several times. And under the more recent rules, he renewed it for the 10-year requirement at least two times, three times maybe. And so he had renewed it in 2016, just the year before. He had renewed it in 2006. And he believed that he had renewed it even in 1996 and maybe before then. So he had misled them several times. And the officer had him right there denying it. Now, that is an incident of a permanent bar. He had been deported and he wasn't supposed to enter in the manner he did, but he did. And that's one reason why so many individuals come in and say, oh, it's going to be easy. I'm a permanent resident. I've been here so long. I'm over 18. I have a straight shot to citizenship. No, you always have to look at what's behind the scenes on the case to make sure that someone's not going to get in big trouble beyond being denied citizenship. They're going to be placed in deportation proceedings at immigration court, and the government's going to try to strip them of permanent residency. So what are conditional bars? What are the temporary bars? Well, that means that during the statutory period, during the 5 years or 3 years, the 1 year, that an individual has committed certain acts that may not be crimes per se, but that they disqualify them under the good moral character interpretation. So what were the individuals who have willfully failed to pay child support? Someone comes into my office and we start talking about child support. Oh, well, I owe child support. When was the last time you paid? Oh, I haven't paid child support in a couple of years. When were you ordered to pay child support? Oh, 3 years ago. You're going to be denied. You're going to be denied good moral character. You have an obligation to support your family, your children, and you're not doing it. Someone that has, before the statutory period, say, committed a minor crime and they were placed on probation, but they're still on that probation. They could be denied citizenship based on naturalization. And worse, I had an individual who went to her citizenship interview, and at the citizenship interview, she was told about an outstanding warrant against her. A warrant? Yeah. It was a warrant from 8 or 9 years before that she didn't take care of. It was basically she had failed to stop paying whatever fine she was supposed to pay to the county. And when she stepped outside the interview, lo and behold, there was a local sheriff there ready to execute the warrant and took her into custody. You have to be really careful about that. You know, I told the spouse in that situation, you got to bail out quickly before she gets sent to, you know, maybe one of the local detention centers and they commence the immigration proceedings. At least if you get her out, you can go back and clean up, pull the warrant and clean up the criminal allegations and give her a fighting chance in immigration court. Because whoever helped you should have looked into that long before your wife was sent to go to her naturalization interview. Failure to pay taxes. Some individuals come in and they haven't paid taxes for the last couple of years. Well, that's an obligation, and it's a steep obligation, and the government's counting on you to fulfill that obligation. And when you don't, that can be easily perceived as a reflection of bad moral character, of non-good moral character. In those situations, your best bet is to hire an accountant and amend your returns or start paying your returns. Do whatever you have to do, but to catch up on that. The one that slips through the cracks often that I've noticed of people that are denied and then they come in for help afterwards would be having a relationship with someone that tended to destroy a marriage, an extramarital affair. And the government looks at it because the dates come up. When did the person marry for the second time, or when did they marry a new spouse, and when did that other spouse get divorced? And then they match the dates with the interviews and the marriage, the date of the marriage, the date of the divorces, the date the children were born. And they say, well, wait a minute. You know, that borders on adultery. That's not an act of good moral character. So in more recent times, under the Trump administration, there began a bigger push to classify individuals as public charge. That's when someone accepts public benefits from the county, from the state, from the federal government, but they accepted it during periods that they weren't entirely entitled to it. Well, that's willful abuse of public benefits. That's going to get you in trouble. And that could also lead to criminal charges down the line. There's also the requirement that someone has to have registered for selective services. So between the ages of 18 and 26. So if you became a permanent resident and you're 22 years old and you're a male and you were supposed to register for the draft, you were supposed to register for the service and you didn't. And now, you know, you're 30 and you never did it. Well, it's not wise to apply because you're still within a 5-year period. If the law ends at 26, then you're not cleared, and you're really not entirely cleared even then at the age of 31. So those are the types of situations that you have to be careful about. And unfortunately, a lot of individuals who want to rush to citizenship through the naturalization process overlook, and they go places and they fill out papers and they submit the papers. And the person helping them doesn't do the necessary background work on their immigration history, on their living history, on their, you know, whether they have any convictions. And so the paperwork is submitted. They go to the naturalization interview and they're denied. In the better situations, the naturalization application is denied and the individual can reapply. So when it's a conditional bar, a temporary bar, after the 5 years of period passed, or after you clean up whatever got you denied, such as failure to pay taxes or failure to pay child support, then you can reapply. Okay, and you would have a better chance of winning. Now, note this as well, though. Even beyond a discretionary period, the government agent reviewing your file can look at your actions before then. They can. It's not automatic in the sense that they will bar you on a discretionary basis for acts done further back, 5 years before you apply, but they can. And if there's something in your current application that triggers them to look in that direction beyond the 5 years, that there's some connection to actions beyond the 5 years, well, it's almost as deadly as a permanent bar because they will deny it. They could deny it on discretionary grounds, although you have more chance to fight it, to appeal it, to contest it when it's beyond the 5 years. But still, it can be denied. So nothing is really off limits for the government. And you have to be real careful about that. And one additional point before I close has to do with the aggravated felony rule that I mentioned before, if you commit some of those violent crimes. Well, basically, most of those crimes, because of the way when the law began, may not permanently bar you if the bad act was committed before November 29, 1990. Murder is an exception. Murder is murder, regardless when it was committed, and you're not going to become a citizen. But the 11-29-90 rule, 11-29-90 date is important to know if you've committed one of the more the stronger crimes that can bar you from becoming a citizen. If your crime is further back, the government could technically grant you citizenship. But there's also the fact that if the government wasn't aware of it, it can also lead to further immigration problems where you're placed in immigration court. And no matter how you become a permanent resident, it can be stripped from you. So be careful on that. Those are rules that really, they're complex, they're tricky. I didn't get into a lot of the nuances because the nuances are things that you really, really must discuss with an immigration attorney live. You don't want to go forward if you fall into any of those cracks. You don't want to go forward if you have something in your past that appears to you, even as you reflect, a little shaky, because you could end up in a lot worse situation than you are at present. And so naturalization, instead of being the promised land for you, becomes the trigger for eventually having you kicked out of the country. So don't take that chance, okay?